Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. John Shannon with Landon Ferraro. Landon, we go across the pond today to talk to Filip Hedl, who is in the Czech Republic, preparing for the offseason, and as I understand it, into his new life as a husband after being married. So it's a busy summer for a guy who needs to make an impact as, I think, the number two center for the Vancouver Canucks, don't you?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And, you know, I talked to him a couple times, at morning skates after he got traded to Vancouver. And you could see right away, he's a really personable guy. He loves the game, but he likes talking. He likes, you know, really being invested into the conversation. So first, I'm really excited to have him on here, but you know, I think it was really cool as a media guy sitting up watching morning skate at the end of the year and watching him get integrated back into the group. And you could see the smile on his face and working with the coaching staff and being around the guys, you know, between having a full summer of healthy workouts and skating, he gets married, like you just mentioned. I think he's probably had himself a pretty good summer here. And I'm excited to hear about it.
You know, the one thing in watching Hedl play for the Rangers predominantly, and I have friends in and around the Ranger organization that have always said he's such a great person, is I never realized how big he was.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I think he's probably knows he's going to have to take advantage of is his size, correct?
For sure, especially in Vancouver this year. Like, you know, they trade Dakota Joshua. Yeah, they bring in Evander Kane, but especially through the middle of the ice, he's a big guy. He's what, 6'3", 220-ish. And the fact that he can skate, like, that was the biggest eye-opener for me was, you know, right from very first game he was with the Canucks, how he can transport a puck up through the middle of the ice. Like, that was very different than what you saw with the group before he got here. And so having that size, the ability to move, you know, getting a bit more familiar here and you know, having that full healthy summer, I think he's put himself in a spot to really grab the opportunity that's in front of him. And the Canucks are going to need him to do that as well.
Well, I tell you what, with everything that has happened, the number one question mark with the Canucks is who is the number two center? We all know that Pettersson is supposed to be number one center. And the question is can Filip Hedl be that number two center? I think he's going to be given every opportunity to do it. Now the question will be when camp starts is, will he prove it? And can he adapt to being that number two guy for this organization?
Yeah, I think, you know, realistically, like it really hinders on his health and him being able to play a full season, to stay in the rhythm, not be in and out where you have to always constantly kind of fight your way back to feeling good. You know, I think he's shown through his career when he's been at those points, he can be a difference maker. He can be a guy that you know, like there's more offense there. And I think it's just about getting the reps in consistency. And if he's able to do that, which, you know, hopefully that's where he's at. You know, Alvin said when we had him on that at this point, everyone is healthy. Everyone's good to go. So that's a huge starting point already. But you're going to have a very motivated player to show that not only can he, you know, that he can play and do his job, but there's a lot more to his game as well.
Well, without further ado, we will go across the Atlantic to Czech Republic and talk with Filip Hedl on 100% Canucks after this.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. John Shannon here, Landon Ferraro in Vancouver, joined by Philip Hedl in Prague. I assume you're in Prague. Is that right?
Pardubice. Pardubice.
Pardubice.
Yeah.
So that one of the first games I ever worked on was a Super Series game in 1977 with Pardubice against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Milan Novi played for Pardubice, and Yuri Serha was the goaltender. So
that's, really?
Yeah. So that's I go back a little bit. Now, let me ask you this. Do you still call it Czech Republic or do you call it Czechia?
Myself, personally, I call it Czech Republic.
Okay.
So I don't know where it comes from, Czechia, the term. I heard it once, and then it was getting more popular, and I still don't understand why they changed it.
Well, that's okay. And by the way, I guess congratulations are in order. You got married this summer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How was that? And is your wife going to come to Vancouver?
Yeah, it was great. It was nice to see whole family together from my part and from the side of my wife as well, and see all of my friends, because I got most of the friends who play hockey as well, and they play in North America as well, and we not see each other that much during the season, so that's always nice to see them, of course, at the rink in the summer because we skating together, but to see them at this event was beautiful. Like, that was, we enjoyed it and it was great.
Was it a big wedding?
Not much. That was like 50 people. So yeah, that was just the closest friends and closest family what we have.
That's the best way to go. Me and my wife got married a couple of years ago and we were just over that, like 55, 60. And
yeah.
It's funny, yeah, like you know, I always, you know, when I was playing in North America, like I'd see the Europeans come over and I think it was the same as me coming from Canada to Michigan. And then I finished my career in Germany and seeing how different it is when you're that far away from home, how much more important that time is with your friends and family. And I'm glad you guys had a great time. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It was beautiful because how you say it's completely different, because when you don't see even family, like we're not seeing them with my wife, we're not seeing them too much during the season. It's maybe once or twice during the season for maybe a week or 10 days because they are at their jobs as well. So yeah, that's not much time to see them.
And like, I've heard you speak about your family, you know, a decent amount since, especially coming to Vancouver and obviously just having stuff out here. But, you know, I can see how much you kind of light up when you talk about them and how close you are. Like, how did that shape you as you're growing up? You know, I hear you talk about your brother and how competitive you guys were and having that time in the summer now. How important is that to you?
Yeah, it's big for me. You know, it's probably for everybody who's got a brother. I don't know. I don't have sisters, so I don't know. I cannot judge on that. But with my brother, we were always competitive. He's 3 years older than me, and I was always trying to catch him up. You know, trying to be better than him. And he was, until some point, he was better at everything than myself. But I was still working. I was doing all the stuff. I was trying to be better than him. And at some point, I get there and I start to beat them almost in every sport. And it was not like, okay, I'm done. No, I was trying to beat him again. And it was so much fun. And our parents are the same. So even when you see play, for example, tennis, my mom against my dad, they're just trying to beat each other and they don't care. That's just how it is in our family. And yeah, it is part of me. And yeah, we are very connected together.
Who's the better tennis player, your mom or your dad?
They don't understand English, so I can choose one right now. So they will not understand. So I don't know. That's tough to say. They always are. They are the best. Now, maybe I'll be, how you say at the beginning, I'll be diplomatic. They play the best when they play together, you know, doubles. They are screaming at each other, but they are complementing each other very well. So,
and what was your brother's best sport? Was he a hockey player too, or a soccer player?
Yeah, he was. We played growing up together, and then he switched to soccer. And he was actually he was playing in a third league until, because he started in pro at 16. He was very good, and then he retired. Like when I say retired, he retired 21. Because he was like on the, I say it, he was like between the lines to be a strength coach or be a soccer player. And he decided to be a strength coach, and now he's got his own like path, and he's doing all these things. And I think he's one of the best strength coaches in our country right now. And I'm not saying that because he's my brother, but he's very talented, and he's how I said, in how we have that in a family. He's trying to be always better every day. He's studying when I'm not here in the summer, and he's got more time. And he's 100% to his work as well.
Is he helping you work out this summer?
Yes.
What's he working on?
We are focusing a lot on my eyes, on my head as well, you know, mm-hmm. on my neck, because, you know, the last couple of years was not easy for myself. So we're trying to focus on these things a lot. And then, yeah, there's always things what I have to work on. I cannot do the same workout what I did 3 years ago. We're always trying to find at the beginning of the off season what is going to be the best for me. And yeah, we do some testing, and then yeah, depends on that. Based on that, we start to create the program for whole summer.
So just before Landon jumps in, how are you feeling based on how last season ended?
Great. I feel great. I said it at the end of the season. I was ready to go to off season, and yeah, I was very happy that I finished the season with the guys on the ice for a couple of practices. And yeah, I came back two weeks after I came back, I started to work out and skate. So now it's almost 4 months already what I'm working out and skating. And I would knock on the wood, I feel very good and feel very positive.
That's great to hear. And like how big was it, especially on the mental side, that you were able to come back and start skating and work out and be with the guys to finish out the year, like heading into the off season? Was that, I would imagine, a pretty big motivator to really kind of get going in the summer, but also just to know you were healthy leaving and have a full summer ahead of you?
Yeah, it was big for me because I was communicating a lot with the trainers. And yeah, some days were worse, some days were getting better. But there was some point where it changed and I started to feel much better every day. And I was so happy about that. And I was spending so much time with the trainers at the arena. And when I could start skating with the team, it was just... Also, your head, when you start to skate with the team, your head reacts different. You see all the guys around and you're in your natural environment. That's the place where you want to be. So it started to click everything in my head, and I was so happy, and my body started to work. Of course, it was tired, and it was not in the shape how it should be. But at least that thing that in my head that I was able to be on the ice with them was amazing. And then I knew right away that I'll be ready to go home and start to work out and skate right away.
And the stuff you're working on with your brother is going to help protect you from further injuries like this?
It's both ways. It's also how it can make me better on the ice, but also prevent from the injuries as well, because yeah, it's tough. It's a lot of, like, the head is very complicated, and it's still a lot of things what I have to work on, and on my neck as well, because the last injury was probably more about neck than everything else. So yeah, it's just right now, we just, how I said, we just created a program, and we were changing that during the summer, how it felt, and we were pushing as much as we could.
So you're skating every day now?
Oh yeah, I love it. I just came back from the practice right now. So
now you said a lot of your Czech friends that play in North America are skating. Who's on the ice with you?
It's Jiří Kulich from Buffalo. It's Matěj Blimel, who he signed for Boston from Texas, and Gabriel Sturz, he's playing for Syracuse. So most of the young guys who playing in HL, who's trying to make it in an HL, and I'm just realizing how I'm getting older, because I was always skating with the older guys, and now these guys are 3-4 years younger than me, and they are asking me for some help or for some advices, and I'm like, okay, it's weird, but yeah, I'm very happy for them, because they have so much energy, and that's what I need as well.
It's funny how quick it flips on you. You go from the young guy to the experienced guy pretty quick, but
crazy.
You know, right when you got to Vancouver, it was so clear. The biggest piece that you brought, you know, in my eyes, was how you transport the puck through the neutral zone. Like, that piece was really missing here. And right from the first game, I mean, you're a big guy. You cover a lot of ice. You skate well. When you're going and, you know, you're picking it up in your D zone and you start going through the neutral zone, like, what are you looking for? Because you seem to kind of weave your way through pretty effortlessly. And I know it's not. You've put a lot of work into it. Like, what do you look for when you're going up the ice to find that space?
It depends. It's for me, I was playing like that since I was a kid. I always grabbed the puck and I was going coast to coast and I scored goals. It's not possible in an NHL. So I had to find a way my first couple of years how to get to the offensive zone and how to get through the neutral zone through five guys or whatever. They have whatever trap they have there, or how it's called. I forgot English words now.
Like the neutral zone forecheck.
Yeah. So when it's clear for myself that I can go to the net, I just going against defenseman and I try to beat him. Like, I love that, and that's my game. I try to always go 1v1 against defender. But sometimes there's not the way, or there's no way to get through them, because they have like good setup in a neutral zone or on a blue line. So yeah, I try to use my wingers. I try to be like creative. It's not like I say before the game, I gotta go 1v1. It always depends on the game, how the situation is. And some teams are very good in a neutral zone, and sometimes we have to chip it in as well. And it depends. It depends what the other teams offered me as well in that moment, you know? So I'm just, yeah, this is big part of my game. But how I said, what I love the most is just go when I have the way and go 1v1 against defender and try to beat him and go to the net or make a pass for my teammate.
You notice a difference between playing in the Western Conference with Vancouver versus playing with the Rangers and the Eastern Conference? Is there a different style?
It was from the first couple of games, it was a little different. It was maybe it was because of the system was a little different from the Rangers. But yeah, I think the teams are a little more. I was even speaking about it with my with the teammates in Vancouver now, with some boys, and they said, like, it feels like the Western Conference is more heavier. It's like more battles. I think in Eastern Conference, it was more like, I'm not saying skill, because in our conference is a lot of skilled teams and players, but it was like different. It was like more the teams playing, I think, fast, but more skill. Like, there's not too many teams, like when you say Buffalo or Ottawa or even in Rangers, how we played, it was like fast, but skill. Like, that was not much, that was not heavy. So I think this is why Florida is like dominating that conference now, because they play like very heavy game, and it's not that many teams, I think, in Eastern Conference like that.
And of course, the biggest difference is the travel, right?
The travel is, I didn't travel to East Coast yet because I was injured, but even when we went to Vegas and then California, I thought it's close. When you look at the map, I always saw this couple, like maybe 1 hour, hour 30, and we were flying to Vegas almost 3 hours, maybe more. And I'm like, what's going on? Because on the map, it looks like short distance. And it's even, and the closest city is Seattle, which is also like 45 minutes or whatever. And that's the closest city. So that's crazy.
It's not like taking the bus to play the Islanders.
Yeah, that's not. That was too many. There was too many cities or too many teams around. But yeah, this is going to be different. And I have to find my routine as well for these road trips.
And so in, like, when you're in with the Rangers, you were kind of stuck behind a couple centermen. And obviously you said, you know, the last couple of years, you're just trying to get your footing back and dealing with some injuries. But you get to Vancouver in that first game, you score a beautiful goal, you know, protecting the puck, entering the zone, and get it from Garland, and you drive it and you score on line and against Detroit. To see that emotion come out and, you know, just kind of explode out of you, seeing how much opportunity you have here coming into this year, like, that's got to be pretty exciting. And what does it mean to know that it's really on you to grab all that opportunity now?
Yeah, it's starting again after, with the beginning of the off season. I had my head turned for the new season, and I just focused these 4 months, just be ready for that and grab it and be healthy. Because in New York, we had always great centermen ahead of me, and even when I finally jumped ahead of one of them, or even when I became, even this season, first center, finally, because I was playing on top of my game at the beginning of the year, the injury came again, and I always fell back to the third center position. Mm. And that was not probably the coach's decision as well, but also when I came back, it's always hard to get to the rhythm again. And even last season when I missed whole year, I started as a second center. I played a lot. I played not power play that much, but 5-on-5, I was there a lot. And then the biggest injury probably in my career, or for sure the biggest injury, just came. And I had the whole year off. So, yeah, everything depends on my health right now. And I just hope that I will come back, and I will do, no, I know what I can do, and I will do everything for that to help our team to make a playoffs again and make it a successful season for us. But I need to focus on my health as well.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up playoffs, like, you've played 36 games. Like, you've, for a younger guy that, you know, you've been in the league, I think, 7 years, but like, you've played some big playoff games, and especially the year, like, when it was you and Kako and Lafreniere playing together, like, that was a fun line to watch. And knowing that you're, you know, on a team now that, you know, had their struggles last year, but, you know, like, there's a lot of promise there, and you guys can get back. Like, how much do those memories of playoffs push you and talking to your teammates to help push along to get back to the playoffs this year?
Yeah, it's we lost twice in conference finals, and that was both very emotional. And I realized how hard it is to get that far. And we were still very far from the Stanley Cup because we lost in conference finals. Mm. So the road is very hard to even get there, but we want to win Stanley Cup. So, yeah, I played a lot of games in the playoffs, and I think I got a lot of experience from that. But again, it's maybe I can I don't know if I can use it in a locker room, because I don't know, I'm not speaking about that, but I keep it in my mind as well. And I still remember from a couple of years ago, I still remember that pace from playoffs, how it changed into three more levels. Mm-hmm. And it's just with every round, it's harder and harder. So yeah, I keep it still in my head. And this was probably first time after 4 or 5 years which we didn't make playoffs, or mm-hmm. I was not part of the playoffs. So it was tough for myself. Even I was not happy about that. And it was again because I didn't play last month. So I was also angry that I couldn't play and help the team to get there in the hardest part of the season. I'm not saying if I would be in a lineup, we would make it, but I would at least try and I would do my best, because our guys played unbelievably in last month and they were pushing for that playoff spot. But we had also a lot of injuries in our team and it didn't happen. But hopefully next year, all of us is going to be healthy and all of us are going to do the part which will bring us to the, I would say, as far as we can get.
Just curious, when will you come back to Vancouver?
I'm coming probably at the beginning of the September, probably the second week of the September. And yeah, just we're just looking for the place where we're gonna live. It's how long the summer is for my workouts. The summer is as long as well how to find a home, because we still cannot decide. And if we decide, somebody picks that already and it's not available, so we have to find another house or whatever. So yeah, it's hard to find, but yeah, we're still looking at that and we cannot wait to get there.
Vancouver is a lot different than New York City. What do you like about living on the West Coast?
I said that Vancouver is actually closer to Europe as a city, as it how it looks. Because I'm from small village in Czech where I was growing up, and we have a lot of forests and we have a lot of animals around. And now when I came from New York to Vancouver, I just realized again how I love nature. Mm. So we were, when I didn't play the last month, we were traveling to North Vancouver, West Vancouver, and we were looking if maybe we find some bear on the street. And you know, we were just curious about that. And yeah, I love the city. It's beautiful. It's not, of course, it's not as big as New York, but it has different, how I say that, it's got different air, you know. It's beautiful. It's like I cannot even describe it in English. Like, it's, we are very happy about that place with my wife, and yeah, it's also gonna be good for our dog. So we're happy.
What kind of dog do you have?
We have a small one. We have Pomeranian, you know. Oh. Because we are not, because you have to travel with bigger dog, you have to put him down in the plane.
Yeah.
So we bought him, like, it's already 4 years, so it's going quickly. But yeah, it's gonna be good for him as well.
Well, when you get back, you can come over to my place. We've had a bear kicking around our garbage the last couple of days here. So you can come take a close-up look. Maybe you can chew them out of there for us.
or maybe the Pomeranian can.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that. I saw that on Instagram. That was very funny.
I saw that too. That was awesome.
like almost all members of our family who's got Instagram, everybody sent it to us. that was very funny.
Hey, I got to ask you, we haven't really talked about you. You talked about you and your brother playing hockey together as kids. Who was your hockey idol when you were growing up in Czech Republic?
Of course, it was probably every Czech person. That was Jaromír Jágr.
And he's still playing, Phil.
He's still playing. That's
crazy. Still playing.
I cannot believe that. And I was skating with him last summer a couple of times, and he's still so strong. But I don't understand in his age that he's still playing. And then when I was older and I started to look at the play styles of the players, how they play, I was watching more of Malkin and Crosby because I was like fan of Pittsburgh because of Jágr as well. And then I was watching Patrick Kane a lot. And yeah, then I could play with him.
Yeah, you played with him for the Rangers.
Yeah.
But I mean, just to live in Europe and watch the NHL from a distance and be able now to play against these guys and be equals of these guys must be something special.
Yeah, it was a dream come true when it happened. Actually, when I made the Rangers team from the camp at 18 years old, right after the draft, I was looking at the schedule and we were playing our fifth game against Pittsburgh, but I was sent down after the third game. So I was like, okay, I have to work hard to get back and get that place in the team and stay in the NHL. And then next year, I think when I made the team again, we were playing against Pittsburgh again, like at the beginning of the season, and I could play against those two guys. And then we play Chicago as well, and I could play against Patrick Kane, and it was like dream come true. Of course, I was in that time, I was looking at them like, finally, it's like I can play against my idols. But then when I saw them, it was nice. And then I was like, okay, I have to see how I can compete against them, why they are so special. And then, yeah, it's just now we're playing against each other. And I was happy that I could play with Patty for some weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's always the coolest feeling getting to see those guys up close. And like you said, stack yourself up and where you fit. Like that first year you get drafted and then you, like you said, you made the team out of camp. You ended up playing, I think, 40-ish games down the American League and a handful up top. Like, what was that transition for you? Like, what was the biggest adjustment? Obviously, the rink size, but like for you in particular, like, what did you find the hardest to kind of figure out?
Yeah, that style on the small rink, like because in Europe, there's a big rink and you are playing mostly on the puck. You are not dumping the pucks or you're not chipping in too much because the ice is so big that if you dump it in, you have to chase it so long. So I was used to the holding the puck a lot and just chip it in just when I had to. When I came to AHL, I was trying my best to do the same, but the ring is so small and the pace in AHL is much faster than in Czech League where I was playing in the time. And I was like, and I was getting from my coaches in the time, they were so nice to me because I didn't understand English. So they probably understood in the time. They don't have to scream at me because I wouldn't understand a thing. So they were always so nice to me, show me a videos and trying to speak slowly and get it to my head. And I was I came to the arena at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was leaving like at 5 because I was staying longer in the gym, longer on the ice. And then I had sessions with the coaches as well. So yeah, they helped me a lot. So it was like probably this thing that is like much faster and you have to go north. And now I said in Europe, you can always turn it back in neutral zone and hold the puck rather than chip it in and battle for that.
Like did you come over with basically no English when you first came over?
That was school English, you know, it's just the basics. But you cannot speak when somebody started to speak. I couldn't have conversation. I was sitting in a locker room and I saw the European guys speaking with each other in English. And I was like, how do these guys do that? Like, that's crazy how they learn to speak like that. So I was more listening to the guys in the locker room whole year. I didn't speak too much. And I was listening to coaches as well when they were trying to help me. Yeah. And yeah, that was the biggest school for me.
Who are the guys you leaned on heavily to help you kind of figure out the English? I remember my first year in Grand Rapids, we had Thomas Tatar and a couple other guys, and I would love when he'd start speaking and he'd be in a playful argument and he'd put up his finger, like, okay, hold on one second. He'd turn to the guy sitting next to him. This is what I'm trying to say. How do I say it? And he'd listen and then yell it back across the room. Like, who are those guys for you?
I had in the Rangers, I had Matt Zuccarello.
Okay.
That was special. He was taking care about me and he was always saying the things to me and he was speaking very slowly to me. Now when I came back to that, I think he was making fun of me as well, but no, I think he was trying to help me. And he was very nice. And I don't know, I was like these guys, because I didn't have Czech guys there. Actually, I have one goalie that was Ondrej Pavlak in the time in Rangers, and I didn't have anybody in AHL. And then they brought Marek Mazanec for a couple months, and until he came, I was just sitting there. I didn't speak at all. Then he came there, and he was like, in that time, he was already 27, 28. And that was the same. Like always, I was bigger. I had bigger shoulders because I knew that I had some guy next to me. And when I was trying to say something, and on the third word, I stopped and I was like, "Hey, help me! I need to know. I don't know how to say it." So he was always like, he was my interpreter, and he was speaking instead of me. And I'm like, "Nice, thank you." So that was so much fun.
I don't think we in North America understand the challenge of the culture change and the language change when you come here to play professional hockey and then don't know the English language. How lonely was that first year?
Yeah, it was pretty hard. I can't lie, but. I was living with my parents until that, and they were taking care of me even when I was whole day at the rink in Czech, and I came back always home just to for sleep.
Yeah.
And I left early next day again, but I was still at home and I had breakfast, I had snacks from my mom prepared and dinners, and then I came to America and I had to work for everything. I had to cook for myself. I had to do my laundry. I had to do all the stuff how normal people living. And when I was 18, I didn't know what to do. I was always calling my mom what to do, and then my girlfriend, my wife now, I was calling all the time what to do, what should I do, if it's right or not. So many clothes. And so much food was burned, or so the clothes were thrown out because I was at the beginning, I was terrible about everything. And then, yeah, my girlfriend came in the time or my wife came in the time and she was helping me as well.
Yeah, it's, So getting back to summer now, you said you're working on, your neck and all that stuff in the gym, but on the ice specifically, this is a two-parter, I guess. Like, one, what's your favorite thing to work on the ice? And then what are you really trying to improve on this summer on the ice to help kind of bring yourself along once you get back?
That's probably on those two questions, the same answer. I love to score goals, and I know I can score a lot more when I'm what I'm scoring now, or even what my best season was. So we're working with my skill coach around the net a lot, working on my shot, working on one-timers, and this is the thing what I'm working the most. And then, of course, we're working on my edges as well. With puck handling and all these things, but the thing what I love the most is just shooting. And I know there is so much room what to work on, and there's so much room how to get better. And even like this is the even for the I think for the top players, like they work on the shot all the time because this is the thing what you can always work on off the ice, on the ice, and yeah, how I said, I love to score goals and I need to score more. So that's the thing.
You're going to get a chance to be the number two center for the Vancouver Canucks. So, and it's a real challenge that I think you're embracing, right?
Yes. How I said, I'm just focusing on myself. I don't care too much about what's going on. Like right now, in the predictions, what we see on internet or whatever, I just don't care about it. I just focusing on myself. What is today? Like the training camp is still far away for myself. And yeah, if the coach put me on a second center or third center or first center or whatever position in offense, of course, I will do my best, and I have to, because I'm still new in the team, so I have to earn that ice time, and I want to show him that when I'm healthy, I can help the team a lot. So it's all up to me how I'm gonna play, and yeah, I need to show the coaches and everybody that I can be the guy who can help the team a lot.
Last question to you, Landon.
So you say you're coming over start of September, second week of September. Do you have like one last thing you're looking forward to doing back home before you come over? Is there something you like it's always kind of your last send off?
We have just we going to with my wife actually tomorrow we're going to Milan
Oh,
for
nice.
NHL media. So we're gonna spend there. Of course, I'm not I'm I cannot wait for the interviews. That's gonna be unbelievable. But no, the thing what I like about that trip the most is that we are going for soccer game
Oh,
for AC
nice.
Milan. So yeah, I cannot wait for that. I'm a big soccer fan, so
Who's your team?
Manchester United.
Okay.
We are struggling last 13 years, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel right now. So yeah, and last 2 weeks after this weekend is just practicing. I will enjoy my family always after the practice in the afternoon, but I just want to focus for on my practice, on my workout in the gym, recovery, and maybe have a couple more dinners, celebrate my birthday and birthday of other members of our family. And yeah, we are going to Vancouver.
Well, I mean, Thomas Muller just signed with the Whitecaps. You
Oh
know,
yeah, I
that's
know. That
big
was
news.
very I was very excited about it because I will in our free time, for sure I'm going to Whitecaps game. That's for sure.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry. I said Landon had the last question. I'm gonna ask the last question. Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
Again, I didn't understand.
Where did you go on your honeymoon?
Honeymoon. We had honeymoon before the wedding, because it was so much time, you know, before the wedding. We had 2 months after the season. So we went to Greece. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And we always planning, probably last 4 years, we still planning to go to Maldives. But always after season, when I come home, I say, no, it's so much traveling during the season. I don't want to travel another 15 hours to Maldives. So we're going to keep it after my career. But yeah, we had just the honeymoon before the wedding in Greece, and then we had weddings because my brother had a wedding as well, 3 weeks after us. So we had just these weddings, and it's a lot of events during the summer. And I still have to not squeeze. I have to squeeze those events between my workouts and skate. So
yeah,
it's not much time.
Listen, we appreciate the time from Pardubice in the Czech Republic. Yep. And, we hope to see you with a successful season with the Canucks this season.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Thank you very much, guys. I enjoyed it.
Philip Hadel of the Vancouver Canucks. Landon and I will be back after this on 100% Canucks. I don't mind saying, Landon, I am always amazed at technology. I'm of a vintage where it was even something to have a long distance phone call with somebody in Europe. And now technology allows the three of us to have a conversation like he's in the next room. It is an absolute remarkable concept that he's in Pardubice, Czech Republic, you're in Vancouver, and I'm in Toronto, and we're all together. And that's the magic of where we are now in the 21st century.
Yeah, like right now would probably be the time to where I, you know, make a joke about, you know, you're the older guy and all the electronics. But when we first started doing this, I was having to ask you how to hook up my mic. I'm so bad with all this stuff. So, I mean, it is amazing that, you know, not only can you do that, but, you know, you end up, it's not just a phone call anymore. You can see his face. You can see his expression. My favorite part of that whole interview was asking him, what are you working on this summer and what's your favorite thing? His face lit up when he talked about scoring goals. Like the fun that he has with that and being able to see it and kind of feel that excitement of, like, that's what he plays for. He wants to score goals. He knows he can score more and help the team. Like that was great.
Well, and let's face it. With everything that went down in Vancouver last year and the trade with the Rangers was made, there was an expectation that Philip Hedel at a certain point, when healthy, could score goals. Because this team needs goals. This team needs a lot of goals. And they need it from the center positions. So it's going to be fascinating to watch what he does. And it does sound like he's healthy, and it does sound like he's worked on you know, the neck and the back of the head issues that have plagued him both in Vancouver and in New York. I got to ask you, in your time in Germany, it's basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's a weekend league.
For the most part, yep.
Yeah. Were you able to get around to other countries and do some traveling when you weren't practicing, if there wasn't practice? And go to Czech Republic and go to these other countries?
Yeah, I didn't get there, but you know, it's nice. There's two international breaks the German league have. So you get 2 weeks off in November and February, and one of those weeks you get fully off. So me and my wife, and we got to a couple of different spots in Italy. You know, we went to Paris, we went to Amsterdam, but you know, Amsterdam, when I was in Cologne, we'd get 2 days off randomly. Like you said, like just after a Sunday game, we get Monday, Tuesday off. We'd throw, you know, we'd pack the car up quick, throw the dog in there, and Amsterdam's a 2 hour drive. You know, like it's.
Dog, you got a dog. Hockey players and dogs. What is that?
I think a lot of, I mean, one, dogs are great and they're awesome to have around, but you got to remember, like, a lot of us are younger when, you know, when we leave home. Or, you know, if you're one of those guys that has a girlfriend or a wife at a younger age, they're moving around to different cities. We have our teammates as soon as we get there. They get to the new city and they don't know anyone. You know, the girls and other wives try and help, but the dog is always there for them. So my wife, when she first, she graduated university, and her one thing was, because her the year was in Boston, was her first year. So I started in Detroit. We got the dog there and instantly got moved to Boston. So within like 2 weeks of her moving down, we've already been traded or already off waivers and moving to a different city, even farther away from home. So that dog and her are tight, and you know, like that's their safety net. And that's generally why all those guys get them.
And okay. So Phil's got a Pomeranian and you have a,
I got a mini Aussie Shepherd that didn't stay too mini. He was supposed to be like 20 pounds so that we could bring him on the plane, and he's about 50. So we basically, I think the person pulled a fast one on us, but Harley's a good boy. We'll keep him.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I got a new affection for another Vancouver Canuck, Philip Hedl. He was kind of cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, he's, like I said, like just meeting him the first couple times last year during the season, like he was so personable, and you could see how excited he was for the new opportunity in Vancouver. And, you know, it's a shame it, you know, the last, you know, he ends up missing the last month of the season with that hit from Dickinson in Chicago, or against Chicago, because you could see how excited he was for the opportunity. But hearing him talk about, you know, being able to skate at the end of the year and then getting back home and working with his brother, who's a strength coach, and you can see how much his family means to him. So to have that through the summer and the opportunity that's waiting for him back in Vancouver here, it was great to hear him talk and really get to know him a little bit more.
Indeed. All right. We'll talk to you next week, Landon.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening or watching 100% Canucks.